Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
Well, here is a little known fact that you probably don't know. We are currently in National Magic Week from October 25th through the 31st. Now I'm looking at the calendar. Today is October 29th. I can't believe that this month is almost over. My guest today is a friend of mine. His name is Chris Langle. He's a magician, and I wanted to talk about the topic of magic and also tie it in with Halloween and, if we can, Houdini's death on the 31st of October. Chris, thanks for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I've been busy. What have you been up to as far as performing? I need to get in touch with you about that. What have you been doing? What's going on professionally for you?
Lots of, like, strolling shows. I changed my act up a little bit, so I've been doing a lot more, like, strolling magic. But, Yeah, I've been seeing that you have been – well, you've got a show every day.
Yeah, I've never done it. In all of my life, I'm 60 years old, I never did anything like this. Now, I started in magic when I was a teenager, and then I walked away for a couple decades. This is a mind reading show. It's a Halloween mind reading show. I booked it in 4 weeks from the 4th or 5th of July to August 5th, 4 weeks, booked about 22 shows, and it's the tri-state area. And I don't know. I don't think I'd want to do it full time, like 24/7. I think it's a little bit too much. You know what I mean?
I mean, I get it. It's not for everyone, but I mean, the way that you manage to basically book a show almost every day, that's something that I would love to do because, you know, it's tough. You've probably reached out to a bunch of people before you got a set schedule, and sometimes they just can't do it with their schedule. Sometimes they got to try to, you know, give you a date that might not work. It's tough, but I mean, I see that you're doing it, and you know, it made me wonder though. It's like you were right. You did walk away for a while. You know, you told me the whole story how you used to do it in high school. You worked with Doug Henning's show and everything. What made you want to do it, you know, now? Like, is there a specific reason, or were you just trying to find something new?
No, you know, it's interesting. I was down in New York a couple years ago, and there's a magic shop. I can't remember. It's in New York State, down near close to the city, but it's not in the city. And the woman said to me, you really should go back into doing magic shows. And I said, no. There is no way I'm going to do magic shows. I'm done. And I really feel that way. So what happened was I used to go to Salem. I still do. I go to Salem every September, October, and there's a guy up there that does a Halloween show. And I enjoy it, and I'm a patron. And then one day it just hit me. I said, why don't I put together a mind reading show, which is not a magic show? And then I tied it into Halloween, and that changed everything. So here's the big secret. I sold the show, and then I created the show. So I didn't create the show until August of this year after I sold it.
Okay.
Which is really weird. Like, go ahead.
No, because I was just going to say, I'm going tomorrow, and I've been watching clips that you've been posting. I'm really excited. Like, it's something different, and I've known you for, 6 years now. I've never seen you do an actual show. I've been to your lectures. I've been to your, you know, motivational speaking talks and everything like that. I'm actually really excited to see your show.
Yeah, you know, I thank you. I will say that it came organically because I love Halloween, right? And I love mind reading. But what came out of it was I was working with Paul Draper, who you know, and he was saying,
yes, I do.
Don't pick tricks. Don't just go in your closet in your office and pick up a couple tricks and buy a couple tricks and string them together like a string of pearls. He says, you really need to think about who you are. Think about who you are as a person and what you want to communicate. So I really took that to heart. And then what happened out of that, I go, Halloween, who am I, Halloween. And out of that, I came up with three things. The first one is ritual. The second one is divination. And the third is connection. And then there's a little part in the end that I don't want to give away. Each night it's different and get different reactions. But what I'm really doing is I'm sharing a story. It's not a kid's magic show. We've had to turn kids away in the past. And it really is on the topic of Halloween, which I love Halloween. So it's not a magic show, Chris. It's a spooky mind reading show.
And that's what's exciting me about it, because it's, like I said, it's something different. And, you know,
yeah.
You brought up Paul Draper. I saw him a couple of years ago at Phantasma Magic in New York, and
yep.
He did a lecture. And he was talking,
yep.
You know, mostly about how he built his show and what he does and how he sells his show. And he basically said the same thing. Like, his show is not just magic. He plays instruments. He tells stories. He sings.
Right.
It's yep. a wide variety of different talents that he's got, but he managed to put it all together. And, I mean, he does, I think he said, 24 theaters a year. I mean, obviously on top of all of the television promotion, the hotels in Vegas and stuff. So, I mean, if there's
mm-hmm.
anybody to learn how to build an entertaining show, it's him. But
yeah, because he's doing it. He's actually doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's
go ahead.
Oh, no. He's just one of those guys where he's literally an encyclopedia. He knows what people like, how people want to see things. And like, even I ask
yeah.
him from time to time, like, hey, I'm putting this together. What's your opinion?
Right. Well, the other thing he really talks about is servicing people. What do you need? Like, how can I help you? You're having a celebration. How can I make it more enjoyable for your people, rather than, you know, I built this thing, I kind of like this thing, I want to bring this thing over to your place and show you. He's more like, listen, you got something coming up, I can make it more joyful for you and more entertaining. And he says this all the time, I'm in the service business. I'm in the service of helping you. And I thought, my gosh, there's so many magicians out there. They just want to do their freaking card trick.
Yeah, I'll admit I'm guilty of it. But, you know, there's a huge difference between going to an event to entertain and going to
yep.
an event to make it memorable.
Well, I was thinking about you the other day. I just went to the Torrington Theater here, the Warner Theater here in Torrington, Connecticut, and I saw Michael Carbonaro. And I had seen him like about 8 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. And I said, I don't really want to go see this guy again, but I am going to go see him again because I want to compare, because I saw him back-to-back about 6 years ago, like within a week, and he's right on script. Everything he says is completely scripted. So I went to see him this month in October, and he's a freaking comedian. Like, he was, Chris, I can't tell you, he was so entertaining and so funny, which came first. Like, his character, his speech, his persona was the most important thing in his show, and then he did a couple tricks. And I'm like, wow, he didn't have it backwards. He wasn't out there saying, I'm going to show you some amazing tricks. He just came out there and he entertained us. It was wonderful.
Interesting. Yeah, because I actually, yeah. I thought about going to see him because I knew he was in town, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? There will probably be a better opportunity.
Well, it was interesting. They were selling tickets for $85 in the orchestra, and they were selling tickets for $60. Now, I had seen him twice before, and I really didn't want to see the same show. So I bought a $60 ticket, and then the lady said, hey, you want to move down to the orchestra? I said, yeah, you don't have to ask me twice. But here's an idea I want to run by you. I sold
okay.
this show 4 weeks. I called people up and I said, hey, what are you doing for Halloween? Do you have anything scheduled? I have a magical mind reading show for adults. They're like, wow, that's wonderful. Well, what I'm thinking, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell this next year as the paranormal mind reader presents scary ghost stories for the season. In other words, it could be September, October, November. It could be around the holiday season of Halloween, but it could also extend into December because there's a lot of magic. You know, the Nightmare Before Christmas is a movie that has magic in it. And then there's Ebenezer Scrooge with the three ghosts. But I really would like to extend this for September, October, November, December, maybe even into January, like 5 months thematically around the seasons of the holidays.
I mean, that's a good idea, but I have a feeling you're going to get hooked again.
Well, I don't mind doing the mind reading. I said to a family the other day, I said, please understand it. I don't have any doves. I don't have any silks. I don't have any balloons. This is going to be, I know what you were doing in high school and who you were dating. No little kid is going to even care about that. So I said, it's not that they're going to be scared out of their mind. They're going to be bored out of their mind because I don't do kids' magic shows. Do you do kids' magic shows?
Not anymore. After this year, I'm done.
Why? Why are you saying that?
Well, because I've – let me backtrack. So I thought about stopping doing kids' magic shows last year. And okay. when I was ultimately thinking of that decision, I was like, all right, well, that means I'm going to have to change up my marketing. I'm going to have to change up my character a little bit. I'm going to have to get a better understanding of, you know, new clientele and the way that they think. But at the same time, I've been doing more adult events this year than I did kids' events. And the kids' events that I did, and I mean this in the most honest way, the kids were miserable. And it really made me think because I did a show at the at a library out in over by Kent. And a kid came up literally and broke one of my tricks in front of everybody, and there were no parents around. And it was at that time I was like, all right, you know what? I'm not doing kids' shows anymore. You know,
yeah.
I find that when I do magic for adults, they're more attentive, they're more respectful, they're more interested in what I'm doing. And the magic that I do correlates more towards the adult group because then I get to be myself. You know, I don't have to put on this overly, you know, insane character. I don't have to watch language. I don't have to make sure that I don't offend a parent. And I was looking at, because I have a little notebook. I've had a notebook now for the last 10 years that's just about to the end of its pages. And I document every show that I do, what kind of show it was, where it was. I've only done seven actual magic shows this year. Every other thing I've done was close-up. So I realized, I'm like, you know what? I'm making more money doing the close-up magic. I'm enjoying it more. I get to reach out to a better clientele, and I don't have to deal with children whose parents aren't going to bother to, like, keep them corralled and make sure that they're sitting and watching the show because, you know, kids, they want to show off in front of each other, and they want to, you know, look like the cool kid. Adults don't do that. So I decided, like, you know what, I think I'm gonna finish up my kids' bookings for this year. I'm going to start doing just adult stuff. I'm working with somebody right now who's going to help me build up my adult clientele. I've been filming a lot at my close-up gigs, so that way I've got footage for promo reels, and I'm going in a different direction.
Well, you know, who's our friend? Peter, what's Peter's brother's name?
Oh, Pete and Chris.
Yeah, Pete and Chris. When I think of children's entertainers, I think of those guys. They're wacky. They're crazy. They might even be on crack. But if you offered me to do children's shows or to go to prison for 7 years, I would go to prison for 7 years because I figured I'd get out in 3.5. I don't want to be considered a magician. I don't want to be considered a kid's magician. I want to be taken seriously as a paranormal mind reader, you know. So that's kind of like my – this is the thing that's interesting that you just said. I feel that I am myself in front of the audience where in the past, like 30, 40, 50 years ago, I was, you know, playing an act and I was trying to be Henning or trying to be Copperfield or – I certainly wasn't being myself. So what I love about this Halloween show is – it's me, man. Like, I just come out there and I say, look, I love Halloween. I hope you do, too. That's the reason why you're here. Not everybody does. And then I go into, you know, three aspects of Halloween, ritual, divination, and communication. And let's see where this goes. And I really love it because I'm not playing anybody. I'm just being myself, you know?
Right. Now, let me ask you this, Greg, because you did mention the word paranormal. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe in the paranormal. Like, I am skeptical. I've seen things, but I always question it. What do you say to people, especially this time of year, where it's more of a trend and just a theme of this part of the season? What do you say to the people who think, oh, well, you know, you're not going to get me with anything paranormal or, you know, hey, prove to me that paranormal exists. What do you say to them?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So how I, you know, people have disclaimers. In fact, somebody came up to me last night. I was doing a show in Massachusetts, and he goes, do you have a disclaimer? And I go, you know, I knew exactly what he was talking about. He says, you come across as a real psychic. What do you tell people? And his name was Gary. He was a member of the Society of American Magicians. And I said, Gary, why don't we talk about this after the show, and you can tell me. So here's what I do. I don't put out a disclaimer. I don't say that I am a psychic. I don't say that I'm a fake. This is what I say. I talk about Halloween, and I talk about the three aspects, which is ritual, divination, and communication with the living and the dead. And then I say, just the other day, which is a true story, I'm not making this up, just the other day I reached for a book, and I pulled out a book. It was random, and it was Yeats, and the quote is, it goes like this. I'm out of state, so I can't think of it. The world is full of magic things, patiently waiting for our senses to grow sharper. And then I say, you may believe that or you may not believe that. You may be a skeptic or you might be closed-minded. Either way, you are welcome. So I use the quote of Yeats to explain that there's magic in the world, which, by the way, personally, if you were to ask me, I truly believe there is. Like, I truly believe in the supernatural. Now, I don't think it happens every day, but I do believe in the supernatural. So I don't show my cards, but I quote Yeats and say, this is what he thinks. Whether you believe it or not, you're welcome. And then I leave it up to them. I just leave it up to them, and because I'm not going to change anybody's worldview.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen...
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I've had people come up to me and they're in tears. I've had people come up to me and like, oh, my God. And then the next night, Chris, I've had people come up to me and go, I know how you did it. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, last night, the woman was in tears because she had an emotional experience. And then the next night, what? The woman's going, you kind of forced me to pick that time. You wanted me to say 3 o'clock. I know what you're doing. And I'm like, whoa, like, wow. It's just everybody's different.
Everybody's got a different mindset. But my whole thing with paranormal is I used to believe in it. Like, I used to watch all of the guys that are on those ghost shows, you know, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters. And I always thought it was real. And I was one of those where, you know, if I heard a crack in the wall or something like that, or I was walking at night and I saw a shadow, I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a ghost. But recently, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name because I don't need to embarrass him or, you know, anything like that. But there was a supposed paranormal psychic who is very well known in my area down in Ansonia. And he was coming in because, you know, I was running the Main Street Gallery down in Ansonia. He came in, you know, with a couple of flyers and stuff for it. And I was asking him, I was like, so what do you do? And, you know, what's your show? He's like, oh, this isn't a show. I've got paranormal objects. And he's describing all of these things to me and what they do and how they work. And I'm like, you realize you're talking to a magician who literally does what you do for a living, right? It's like, no, man, these are all real. This is real. To give him the benefit of the doubt, I went to his show. And the show was at the Bijou Theater in Bridgeport. And when I tell you, Greg, I sat there literally shaking my head because you could see the props. You could see the moving animatronic gimmicks on these props that he has. And he claimed that he was going to open up a portal in the theater, and all he did was shine a red flashlight into a mirror, and he's like, oh, it's a portal. I left that show going, is this how every paranormal show is? Because if that's the case, then that's an issue I have, because people aren't that stupid.
Right, and that's what Harry Houdini, you know, talk about Halloween, that's what Harry Houdini was against, the spiritualist movement, which was, I guess, he's been dead for over 100 years almost, but he was against people who were claiming to be psychic and claiming to be able to connect to loved ones, but they were just tricksters. So that was his big thing, right?
Yes, it was, and we're coming up. Today is, what, the 29th, 2 days until the anniversary of Harry Houdini's death. Have you ever been to his gravestone?
Yeah, I went there with my friend years ago. I also went there with Paul Draper. I think I've been there 3 times. I know at least twice, but yeah, it's not that far from here. You can get there in about an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah, I believe it's in Queens. But Harry Houdini, and when I was interning at Phantasma, I learned that, about the props that he would bring to all of these seances, because he didn't believe in seances. And the reason why is because when his mother passed away, he had visited a psychic who told him that, you know, he was able to contact his mother by doing certain things. It turned out to not be true. So Harry Houdini made literally a career outside of magic by going to psychics and seances, sitting there acting as if he was a patron watching the show, and would literally set them up to expose them. At the Houdini Museum, in one of the frames that we had there, there was a lead hand inside of a glove. And what he would do is, you know, when everybody would sit around the table, they would have everybody hold hands. And, you know, the person performing the seance would have something float off of the table or move or something like that. Well, Houdini would keep this fake hand on the hand next to him. Underneath his jacket, he had a cane. He would take that cane out, and he would swipe away any sort of wires or anything that was making the things float and expose the guy and literally walk out. And it's surprising because magicians are so, you know, they tie in Halloween with Harry Houdini, mainly because he died on Halloween. But I find it very ironic that Harry Houdini was one of the biggest skeptics out there.
Yeah, you know, and I do believe you're right, but I've also remember hearing somebody say that he did believe in an afterlife. Now, I don't know, but I my feeling is what you're just saying is absolutely 100% true. It's just that I do remember somebody saying, no, no, he kind of hoped there was, or he thought there was, or, you know, his father was a rabbi. I don't know. I never make claims. Like, when I sit down and I do my show lasts about an hour. I never say I'm a psychic. However, I will give you a little peek here. At the end of the show, and this is absolutely true, this is not BS, at the end of the show, I share a paranormal experience that happened to me around my mother's death. And I say, listen, I hallucinated it. It could have been absolutely out of my mind a hallucination, or it could have been true. So, yeah, am I a magician? Yes. Do I know tricks? Yes. Do I know how to deceive people? Yes. Is it entertainment? Yes. I mean, my God, I wouldn't want to show up at a place to do a show and nothing happens because I want to get paid, right? So it's a good show, but I'm opening it up to the possibility, is it possible that there is life after death? And I let people decide for themselves. And I'm not delusional to think that a person who doesn't believe in the supernatural is going to walk out and change their mind, nor vice versa. I think everybody comes with their same baggage, and they leave with the same beliefs and structure patterns, and maybe they've been entertained for an hour.
Well, I mean, yeah, if obviously the show has to be entertaining, or what's the point of doing it? But, I mean, I think the ultimate goal, especially with what you're doing, considering it's such a touchy topic, if you have one person leave that show going, huh, you know, he really made me think. Do I really know what I'm talking about? Or is there more to this that I don't know and I should research? You know, I feel like that's a great goal because that's the lasting impression.
Well, I got to tell you what happened. I think I was in New York State. And we did the, you know, I told my story about my mom and the supernatural experience that I have, which I'll share tomorrow night. And believe me, it's not a story. It's true. It's what really happened to me. And I had this woman come up, and she sat down, and we did this kind of seance. And I talked about we're going to connect. We're going to make a connection. We're going to do our best to make a connection. And when it was all over, I say to people every night it's different. And it's different because the people that come up share different opinions and stuff. So I said to her, Susan, how do you feel? She says, I feel wonderful. She says, I feel like you gave my husband back for 30 seconds to me. And that's never happened to me in 30 years.
That's amazing. And that's something that she's going to remember for the rest of her life.
But here's the other thing she said. But and then she took a breath and she goes, I don't know how you did it, and I really don't want to know. And I went, oh, my God. And this is what I said, Chris. I said, this is the reason for the show. Everything else that we've done up to this point is for this reaction. But the interesting thing about it is I don't always get that reaction. Sometimes I get people that just cross their arms and just go, this is just a trick. How did you do it? How dare you fool me? And I just think to myself, wow, you know, it's entertaining for me because the ending is never, ever the same.
That's, yeah, and, you know, like, just like with my show, which, you know, I've got one coming up in November in Stratford, and I've really been thinking about it because this is the first time I'm doing my full adult magic show. And I'm trying to think of, like, the people that I perform my close-up shows for, you know, when mm-hmm. I'm at, like, a brewery or a bar or something like that. There's always that one person afterwards who's like, yeah, I know how you do it, but you do it very well. And it's making me wonder, you know, what kind of reactions I'm going to see, you know, at the end of the show that's coming up. If it's going to be, you know, like what you're experiencing, where people are going to be like, look, you know, I know it's a trick, but I had fun. Or maybe they're going to be upset, like, you know, how does he think he's going to be able to pull the wool over our eyes or something like that? But,
yeah.
You know, I feel like a show is good if you can remember it for more than 48 hours. Because if it has a good lasting impersonation on you or a lasting effect on you, then I think it went well. Heck, even if the show sucks, people are going to be like, dude, that was the worst show I ever saw. But they'll still be talking about it. Bad publicity publicity.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes. So tell us about the show. Tell us how we get a hold of you and how we book tickets to the show in November. Because November is going to be in a week. So tell us about that. We got Chris, we only have 2 minutes left, man.
All right. So it's at Two Roads Brewery in Stratford. Very easy to get to. It's right off the highway. The show is November 17th. They've got some sort of name for it. I can't remember. But if you go to Two Roads Brewing, it's TWOROADSBREWING.com. Tickets are there. November 17th, it's adults only, 21 and up. Show starts at 7. So it's going to be a really awesome time. And Greg, I cannot wait to see your show tomorrow. I will be there in Thomaston, and I'm really looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, I am too. I'm home. You know, I got two shows tomorrow. I got one in Waterbury at 1, and then I have one at 7. And I'm going to wrap it up and start thinking about next year, actually thinking about December, you know, scary ghost stories for the holidays, like who knows what I can create there. But, you know, the other thing I want to tell you is I think you're closer and closer to your true identity. When I ran into Peter and Chris, I think it was just Peter, at a wedding a couple years ago, we were talking about this great card sleight of hand guy. And I said to Pete, I said,
yeah,
that
happens
to be Chris Langle. He goes, no, that's Chris Langle. I says, yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. So, I mean, you have a reputation of not being a kid's magician, man. You have a reputation of doing the strolling magic, the stage magic, and definitely playing to an audience where you can just be yourself, you know? That's who I think you are.
You know, it took 17 years, but I think I finally found my niche.
Yeah, no, you know, you can't be everything to everybody. And, you know, the fact that who I am and what I do for a living and my background – the story that I bring into the Halloween, you know, because let's face it, the day after Halloween is All Saints Day. And there is no coincidence that the church has hijacked a pagan holiday because they couldn't compete with Samhain. So there definitely is a religious aspect to Halloween, right?
That's true.
All right, my friend, I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Enjoy the National Magic Week. Be magic. Celebrate magic. Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Greg. See you tomorrow night.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.
The first two letters of Webster Bank, we. As in us and you, working together. That's the we we're all about. The we that means you can think bigger and do more with our financial solutions tailored to your goals and expert guidance at every step. So take your next step with total confidence because you've got the power of we on your side. And together, we can do anything. Webster Bank. It starts with we. WebsterBank.com. Webster Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.